Good afternoon, everybody. Wow, I'm looking at God's people, and I know they're back and they're kind of loud, but it means I think everybody's moved as far back as they can. Well, it's good to see everybody, and it certainly is good to see Faith Factor back. The thing that struck me, and I just noticed this when I walked back into the sanctuary a few minutes ago, was that there was so much stuff that had been missing over the course of the summer, everything from keyboards and so forth. It's just good to see them and everything that's a part of them. Back with us. The schedule is going to be different now this year. They are going to be joining us now. For the most part, there might be occasionally where there will be three Saturdays, but most months, we're only going to be seeing Faith Factor two Saturdays a month. Two Saturdays, but then we are adding a Sunday and trying to set up because they're going to be doing some more external engagements this year than they have in years past. And so we're going to try to keep a schedule for them where they can keep up with all of the demands that have been asked of them. And so for those of you that get the church email, we just sent you something here just in the last day or so that lists when you're going to be seeing Faith Factor here. It's going to be the same for both September and October. We'll see what happens once November rolls around. But nevertheless, so we'll see them tonight and we'll see them again in 2 weeks. And but it's just good to have them back. Couple of things regarding Bible studies. Now that Labor Day is finished, we move full force into our Bible studies. Pastor Richard Arndt is going to be leading a Bible study on Sunday mornings here in the sanctuary. And then in October, Richard Jensen is going to be starting a Bible study. He's going to be back in the conference room on the parables of Jesus. He's got a sign-up sheet back in our fellowship area. Now, I don't know if we really have anything for our fellowship tonight. Most of the time, we're going to try to make sure that we do, but come on back for just a few minutes, and we'll spend a little bit of time in just gathering with one another as God's people, and we'll try to make sure that most months we're going to have something. And by the way, by sometime next month, our restaurant night out is going to be also returning, something that we also do on Saturday night here. So on there's a Tuesday Bible study that begins at the end of the month in the home of Barb Goodhue. So a couple of special celebrations. Marianne Zeltner is celebrating 100 years as she comes in here. That's at the end of the month. But Helena Trinkner, who's also our member, is celebrating today. Two people celebrating 100 years of God's grace. And we've got addresses for both of them. It's not too late if you want to get one to Helena yet. There's going to be some cards that are going to be trickling in over the next couple days. Also, remember, our rummage sale is now in October. We don't have anybody to man the Northeast Shed on Saturdays, but Sunday morning before and after worship, we do have somebody up there right now at both times of service so that you can take your gently used items that are going to be a part of our rummage sale on October 13th. It's coming up very quickly. For the rest of God's people that are gathered here this evening, I want to share a special announcement with you. It's just something that we haven't had to do. For the most part, this church, it seems like it's got about 80 doors. We've had a couple episodes this week where we're having to make sure that we're kind of keep an eye on some things of it's just a part of the neighborhood that we live in. And so right at 5 o'clock, these two doors here are going to be locked. And look, sometimes we get people coming into worship, that's fine. The doors that are right behind our sanctuary back here, they're kind of tough to sort out when you're outside, but those doors will always be unlocked before and through the entire worship service. But these doors are going to be locked, and then the doors back in our fellowship area, we used to call it Narthex number 2. Also at 5 o'clock, we are going to begin to lock those doors, just simply so that God's people that need to come into worship, and we'll make it known that you can always come in through the doors here in our Narthex right behind our worship area. Those are the doors you want to go into. And of course, now, at the end of worship, it doesn't matter how many doors are locked. You can go out any of them. But when you're coming in, we'll have three sets of doors open from probably about 4 o'clock until worship begins, but then just the one set once we get to 5 o'clock. So please make note of that. Please let us know that you were here. The Faith Fellowship cards are in the racks in front of you. do fill those out. We do use those for both Saturday and Sunday. Okay, as we have now gone back to our Faith Factor worship, one of the first things that we do at the beginning of worship is we stand and greet one another in the peace of the Lord. Friends, you might have noticed that there is a little bit of a discrepancy between the songs that we're doing up on the screen and the way they're listed in the bulletin. We had to make a couple last-second changes, but what is up on the screen is correct. So as you are able, please stand. We begin this service by calling on the name of our Lord God, into whose name we have been baptized, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is the strength of his people. To you, O Lord, I call. My rock, be not deaf to me. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. Friends, in the midst of our Lord and Savior who has done all things well, we see our lives, lives that have been darkened by the powers of this world, the darkness of sin, and caused by the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. Looking to God, who is our everlasting light, let us take a few moments in silence as we ponder our lives before him and the life he gave that we might have life. Lord Jesus Christ, none of the forces of evil were able to stand against you. Even the evil spirits had to obey your commands. Even those things which were unable to be helped by anyone in the medical profession then or now, you have been able to deal with. Certainly, dear Lord, the most difficult challenge was on behalf of our sins, but you paid that price as well. You came into this world to be our Savior and gave up your life on behalf of our own lives. May we always live for you in the midst of lives that are filled with weakness, sorrow, and sin. May these also be lives that can serve you in love and joy and peace and honor, being able to give thanks to you who has done all things well. Amen. Indeed, friends, our Lord has done all things well. And for his sake, he was willing to give his life, that now our sins are declared forgiven, and indeed we stand before him as his faithful people, forgiven of our sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and, after spitting, touched his tongue. And, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. You may be seated. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My text, we just heard a moment ago. Jesus has done all things well. Friends, there's this famous Bible passage that unfortunately we're just as likely to hear at someplace like a funeral, where it's from the book of Ecclesiastes, where it talks about there are all things in the world have a time. And among the things it talks about is a time to speak and a time to keep silent. And while there are things in society which match that absolutely perfectly, and in fact, we probably go through life always needing a few more lessons about the time when we actually need to be speaking a little less than we have been, and sometimes we're probably would have helped for us to speak a little more than we had been. But even if there's a time, it makes a person wonder, if one is going to receive this title, he does all things well, what do you have to do? I look out here at God's people, and even if the things that you have done well have changed over the years, I'm kind of wondering, what are some of the things that you are, what are some of the things that you do well? Even if it was something you used to do well a long time ago. And if you do these certain things well, does that mean you can do other things well? For example, and we can even apply this to Jesus. Does Jesus doing all things well means that he's going to be able to sit down in a mean card game and win every game against you, no matter how well you play? Maybe not. But for us, who knows what it is we could do well? Maybe we're really good doing things with our hands. And look, in order to be able to do so many things in life, from woodworking to needlepoint, the list just goes on and on. Even for people who play different kinds of sports, the ability to have hands that are as useful, hands that can do all the things that need to be done, a surgeon, whatever it is, needs really good hands. Something I'll be the first to admit I don't have. But when you look at what it is that has astounded crowds, and remember, Jesus wasn't near the region of Nazareth, around the Sea of Galilee. He wasn't near the region of Jerusalem. He was way up in Gentile country, up in the areas of Tyre, around Sidon, where people, I guess, kind of knew of him, heard about him, were really anxious to see him, and were utterly dumbfounded at the things that he could do. Well, I don't know how many of you would be good at, I can make a list here, quantum physics. Don't know how good some, maybe one or two of you would actually surprise yourself. Being a good car mechanic, we've got one that comes here on Sunday morning. I sure wouldn't want to try to do the things that he does. Well, I have tried a few times. I made a fool of myself. And the list goes on and on. But in order to receive this commendation, he does all things well, really requires that a person is actually able to do two things. First of all, he is able to change the events of this life in a way that no one else can, and in a way that would not ordinarily be seen as possible. Now, we've lived just in our own lives. We have seen some things discovered, some things that have been understood, and some things that have been learned by people. We never knew about these things before. Maybe they were always there. But I just remember, I'll use an example of something as basic as a computer. It wasn't that long ago, just a couple decades ago, where they used to marvel at the ability that maybe someday everything you need for a computer would fit inside of one room. And we're not talking a tiny little closet someplace. We're talking a pretty good-sized room, probably about the size of a Sunday school classroom. That's what they were hoping would happen one day. And now when you look at just what your tiny little phone can do, nobody saw that a long time ago. And there have been a lot of things that have been improved upon, invented, and so forth to make those kinds of things possible. And yet still, of all the things that people have been able to build, design, improve on, perfect, there are certain things that even today we are no closer to doing than we ever have been. For example, and when you see breakthroughs that nobody had ever seen before, it astounds people. One of the things that is just starting to make its way onto the market right now, in a, what we'll call a little more of a common fashion, that this really did start, go back about a good 15 or 20 years ago, where the first of what are called cochlear implants are able to be placed inside of the ears of people who were deaf. We're not talking about people who are hard of hearing. We're talking about people who could hear nothing. They will implant what it's called again, cochlear implants, and all of a sudden, these people, for the first time, they can hear. But these are things that, it's the most amazing thing. These are things that you put into your ears, and then there's an on switch. And you can hear like nobody's business, but then at night, you got to take them out of your ears. You turn the switch off, and you can't hear. Jesus was able to take a person who, and we've seen this, a person who was born blind, a person who has never been able to hear, never been able to speak. And what exactly was going on with these different things? We never got a chance to look at scans and see if there was just certain parts of the body that maybe, weren't even created in that person, why they weren't able to see or hear or speak. But as I said before, to truly be able to do all things well, one of the things you've got to do is to be able to change the reality of our human existence in a way that no one else can. It's almost like literally that person has got creation itself in his hands to order as he needs to. And for someone who is able to look at a storm and yell, "Peace! Be still," and the storm stops. For somebody who was never able, who was born blind, not only was Jesus giving them sight, but somehow or another, you have got to assume that what Jesus also did was he placed into the person an understanding so that once for the first time he could see all of the things that take us a long time to be able with our eyesight. We don't even realize this, that it takes us a while with our eyesight to be able to determine how to do things like the measuring of depth and so forth. All of those kinds of things are not just something where if you open your eyes for the first time, all of a sudden all of this makes sense. It's too much. But Jesus was able to order those things. He was even able to raise people from the dead. Yet, in the midst of all of that, for a person to do all things well, no matter what it is that he can do in the human realm, he must be able to do things that not only affect this life, but affect the life to come. That's what Jesus came into this world to do. Oh, sure. As a Savior, he still can show that the power of God is with him and that the power of God is able to do some things we cannot even begin to understand. He is able to do things that to this day, we have no concept of how it could ever be done. The very nature of what it requires means it's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. But if there is one thing, even if the day were to come, and I'll just throw a couple of examples out there. Even if the day were to come where all of a sudden we could figure out how in just a few moments to make really good wine. Wine that whatever else it takes time with Jesus changing water into wine. Even if there were two or three of those things that we could do. And we have watched farmers, by the way, many times over, who were told that we're facing a worldwide shortage of something that they plant, and lo and behold, they figure out ways to produce even more so that there is enough. I mean, the world has been able to be fruitful in ways that go so far beyond what anybody was ever able to conceive or understand or think would be possible. But whatever it is that we can do in this realm, we cannot do anything for ourselves spiritually. That is one case where I'm going to look at all of God's people here, and I got to say, doesn't make any difference what you can do well in this life, in this world. When it comes to the life to come, you are dead in your sins and your trespasses. There's only one way that that could be changed, and that is Jesus. And that's the real reason that Jesus came into this world. I sometimes will give a mild smile to people that love to talk about how it is that we need to model our lives about the things that Jesus did and the things that Jesus said, while seeming to have no curiosity about what it is that Jesus has done for our salvation, for our souls. You know, in the first lesson today, it talked about how Jesus was able to come into this world in a way. He was able to bring to us a victory that we could not have previously known. It's not talking about how it is that he defeats our enemies. It's not talking about the things that he's able to allow us to do, the opportunities that he gives us in life. He's talking about preparing us for something we have no business receiving. Life everlasting with him. The Savior who said, "I am going to prepare a place for you," is a Savior that has made us going to that place possible. Is a Savior who was willing to pay a price that we could not pay so that we get to see what doing all things well is really all about. The day is going to come where our lives in this world, with all of our failures, with all the things that we cannot do well, are going to come to an end. But what will take its place then is a world that's going to leave behind so many things that make this existence unpleasant. So many things that we wish that we could be able to do without. So many things that have us looking at almost in shame at ourselves and our lives, regardless of the things that the Lord has called us to do, that we're able to do well as we serve him. Jesus gave up his life for us on a cross. He took to himself all the injustice that should have been thrown our way and sometimes still is because we are Christian. He was willing to take all of the punishment that preceded his death as the punishment that we deserve because of the things that we have done and the things that we have left undone. He was willing to say the words, "It is finished." Finishing what we could not even start. And he was able to rise from the dead to show that death has no power. Not over him, not over you. And so as long as we live our lives in this world, guess what? I don't know how well you do some of these things, but the Lord has given you a time to speak. A time to speak about him and what he has done for you. A time to show with your hands and with your feet how you can serve him. How he has given you a heart. A heart that is filled not with partiality, but a heart that is filled with compassion. A heart that is filled with zeal, that looks for the opportunity to be able to serve him and to serve the people he has placed into our lives. And he has given us a time in which we can lead. We can lead a world that is slowly walking its path to destruction and try to help turn them back to the only solution for this life and the life to come. Yes, my friends, whatever Jesus would do as he comes into our midst, what has the crowds yelling, "He does all things well," are the things that you need in this life. But most importantly, they're the things that he has given to you so that one day, even as he has called us in the waters of holy baptism, we will forever be his. Because he's done all things well just for you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And at this time, we now confess our Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. It is up on the screen. Please stand as we confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated, and during this time, friends, we lift up our hearts as we bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, like those of whom the prophet Isaiah once wrote, we also have anxious hearts. But we look to you who does all things well, asking you to give us your Holy Spirit, that we might be strong and never have fear. Let us take you up on your gracious invitation to cast all our anxieties on you because you care for us. Bless all servants of the word, that through the preaching and teaching and sharing of the word, from both teachers and students, the healing waters of the good news about Jesus may flow through the darkness and the wilderness of this world, quenching thirst with the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, your Son Jesus Christ gave hearing to the deaf. Grant that we trust in your will today for all healing and restoration. We ask that according to your will, you would lay your hand upon those who are in need of healing, who suffer oppression from the evil one, for all who struggle under sickness, loneliness, grief, sorrow, or all for whom we have been asked to remember. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives who is in need of the special comfort and strength that you give, that we name before you now in the privacy of our own hearts. May you grant them deliverance and healing according to your gracious will. And because, O Lord, you have done all things well, grant us your Holy Spirit that he who would constantly open our ears to hear Jesus' word and set our tongues free to glorify him, who will declare on the last day that we have done all things well, also gives to us the opportunity to share in the midst of that special body and blood that you have given to us. We are confident that in his body and blood given us to eat and to drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins and so proclaim his death until the day he comes again in glory. Be with us now, O Lord, as you hear the prayer that you taught us to pray, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord, you sanctify and guide us in all truth to know you as our Savior, Jesus Christ, along with the Father whom you have made known, as we are knit and joined together in the Spirit. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please stand as we close in prayer together. O Lord, You are a good and perfect God who does all things well. Grant that by faith in your Son, who did your will perfectly, we would have forgiveness and life. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless our Lord. And now, my friends, go out into the world in peace, have courage, hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak. Help the suffering, honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you. Amen. Yes, indeed, my friends, we walk by faith, not by sight. And it's good to have them back with us again. And so we look forward. They'll be back here on Saturday night in 2 weeks. Next weekend, they're going to be doing our worship on Sunday morning. So the schedule will take a while to get used to, but we'll let that happen. So I also want to thank everybody. I have already received a number of cards by people celebrating back in August. I went past 30 years since I had been ordained into the ministry. Apparently, that's the nature. I just only found that out a little while ago, that it's the nature of our fellowship primarily tomorrow. But thank you, everybody, for being a part of that. Remember all of God's people wherever they may be. Friends, go in faith and serve the Lord.